Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
Looking at the economy and stocks under a Donald Trump administration, Scott Collier joins us.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Probably no topic in the business and financial community has been more discussed as of late than what will happen to one's portfolio and the economy when Donald Trump becomes president. Trump's presidency has broad implications for matters such as taxes, trade, regulation, and the U.S. and global economies. Let's get the view from Scott Collier, CEO and Chief Investment Officer of Advisors Asset Management. Scott, the post-election rally has faded, but most people I've interviewed so far have generally expressed optimism about Donald Trump as a pro-business president who will provide a boost for the economy and the markets. What is your opinion?
I think the Trump presidency represents three things that changed on election day. One is that we have a promise of less regulation rather than more regulation. The second thing is we have a promise of lower tax rates for corporations. That makes us more competitive in the world. And then finally, we have a promise to spend a fair amount of capital on infrastructure. And I think that both parties back that. Both candidates talked about that. The numbers that are being bandied about are large. However, quite frankly, we'll see what gets through Congress, because it's not just up to the president to spend. That money has to be appropriated in the House.
Do you think he has the advantage of, besides his presidency, dealing with a Congress, a House and Senate that is now both controlled by Republicans?
Well, I think unquestionably that is an advantage to any president to have the same party control both houses. It's not that we haven't had that before. However, I can tell you it's not as easy as it might seem. Everybody was fairly euphoric. I think everybody's kind of calming down now and trying to figure out what's going to get done and what might not get done.
Well, do you think that President-elect Trump will provide a boost for, you know, sectors like financials and energy, which may be subject to less regulation? What's your view on that in both immediate and longer-term future?
Well, I think those two sectors you would handle differently. Number one, financials tend to do well in environments where we have a steeper yield curve, and they can earn a bigger net interest margin. Secondly, financials do well when they have loan growth. And right now what we are seeing is loan growth. And quite frankly, loan growth tends to be coincident with economic growth. So we had a 3% print on GDP in Q3. We expect the fourth quarter to be at least 3%. We think we have some pretty good tailwinds going into 2017. That would tend to create demand for energy and materials. This is the time in the cycle you probably want to own them. They've gone through their own bear market, quite frankly, a multi-year bear market, and global GDP looks to be turning upwards, and upwards GDP is a greater demand for those things that we dig out of the ground.
Would there be sectors or companies or stocks that you'd be looking to avoid at this point?
Yes. The answer is yes. In times of rising interest rates, or where we have a push up in inflation, basically you want to get rid of that stuff which is kind of defensive. Number one would be utilities. Those tend to do well in disinflationary or deflationary times. They're kind of a bond proxy. They're tied to bonds. Higher interest rates mean lower bond prices. So long dated bonds, I would be a little wary of at this point in time. Second thing is utilities. Third thing is REITs tend to have a bit of a problem in rising rate environments. So those are three areas that I wouldn't get out of. I would simply just dial them down a little.
Sticking with sectors, both pro and con, what sectors do you really like at this point? You've touched upon financials. What else?
Well, we talked about financials, but also energy, materials, and then consumer discretionary. So if you look at consumer staples, which would be soap makers and soup makers, I think I would lighten those up. I'd turn the dial over to consumer discretionary. The U.S. consumer is in very good shape financially at this point. The housing market looks good. Autos look good. Those are all consumer discretionary items, and I think that's where, you know, you're going to see some success next year.
As far as consumer discretionary is concerned, would it also cover things like travel or other things that, you know, we don't necessarily need?
Well, absolutely. I think, in fact, it's interesting what we're seeing in the last few days in the market is you're seeing transports actually catch up with the Dow. And the idea is the old Dow theory is if the transports can hit a new high, they confirm the Dow theory. And the idea is you'll see higher markets and higher valuations. I think that travel has been a loser. Basically, over the last couple of years, transports in general have been. You should see that group do very well next year.
We're talking about stocks and the economy with Scott Collier, and you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
When you own a business, if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. Thanks to ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites with one single click and have the highest chance of finding that perfect candidate. Plus, you can instantly be matched to candidates from over 6 million resumes. Find out why over 1 million have used ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Wall Street. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Wall Street.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Scott, are you concerned at all about, you know, Donald Trump's personality and how he may affect certain things like trade and immigration and, you know, that sort of thing? And also who he may appoint to the cabinet?
Well, I think the jury is out on Donald Trump's personality. I think we're all a little worried, but only because it's unconventional. But I think one of the things that we shouldn't do is underestimate his will to win and his ability to stick in there when basically everybody says, oh, you're not going to be able to do it. He actually gets things done. His first choices are not offensive at all for cabinet choices. I think it's very thoughtful. I think he is going about this very differently than in the past. It's not just his friends that are being appointed. There are actually people that are talking to him that were vocally against Donald Trump prior to his election. I think that those are hallmarks of a real leader. So I think I would rather judge him on his actions more than what he tweets or says.
Scott, the Fed's last forecast for interest rate hikes, which was in September, is 2 rate hikes next year and 3 rate hikes each in 2018 and 2019. That may change after next week's meeting, during which, you know, the Fed is supposed to or expected to hike rates. What is your forecast for interest rates and economic growth over the next few years? Can you sort of use your crystal ball for a minute?
Yeah, let me make sure there's no cracks in this one that I brought today. First of all, I would remind you that when we began 2016, the Fed targeted 4 rate hikes this year. We ended up getting 1. Quite frankly, it would be good for the economy if we saw the Fed move 2, 3, or 4 times next year. But quite frankly, I think that they are gun-shy enough that they will go slower. They've indicated this. They, you know, Janet Yellen has said, listen, we're going to let the economy run hot. They are very willing to put up with more inflation than their target. So their target's 2%, but they've said out loud, listen, 2.5, 3, that's good. We'll let that go for a while. But I think it's interesting what we're seeing. We're actually seeing the signs of inflation pressures the highest they've been in 6 years. Now, does that mean they're growing quickly? The answer is no, but they are nascent yet getting bigger. So if we look at the pressure on the yield curve, we see it steepening, not flattening. We see inflation numbers actually ticking up at the Fed's target, maybe a little hotter than the Fed's target right now. So I think I wouldn't pay attention to their forecast because, quite frankly, they don't work. But it looks to us as though you're going to see an upward push in global GDP, and we think that's because we have a synchronized set of central banks around the world that are all very, very easy money and really making reserves available in the market to spur lending and to spur growth. So this is a global synchronized issue. It's not just in the United States, and I would suggest to you that if you look at leading indicators like PMI that was released in China, in Europe, those are all turning up positively. In fact, quite frankly, PMI is positive in China for the first time in 5 years. So I think we may be underestimating what we're going to see next year. Next year may be a very, very good year for economic growth. I'm not sure how much of it's already baked into the U.S. markets. I think there may be some value elsewhere other than just the U.S. But quite frankly, I think you're going to find that we have a pretty good year next year.
So you're not just optimistic as far as the U.S. economy is concerned. Other people that I've talked to are less sanguine about global economies, but you seem to be fairly upbeat about both the U.S. and economies abroad.
I am, absolutely, yes.
Scott Collier, CEO, Chief Investment Officer of Advisors Asset Management, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Charlie.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.